Disclaimer. The views and opinions you hear expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. I know you will. Welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. It's just me and Justin this time, taking a little break from the interview shows. How's it going, Justin?
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. You know.
It's crazy couple weeks here.
Yeah, weirdly busy, because normally this time of year it's pretty quiet, and then we hit TAF, and then we hit spring preview, and then it's convention season. So, like, from end of March through about August... is end of August at this point is going to be really, really busy. But I've been pretty loaded up with work, regardless in the last couple of weeks, a lot of special features going on. So
yeah, I have Spotlight already.
Right. Yeah. That's coming up.
And, it looks like we're going to have more shows this time, like probably around 10 or 11, maybe more, but who knows until we actually get the stuff.
Yeah. If we can, you never can tell.
No. And we got some really sad news yesterday.
Yeah, so last night we heard about the untimely passing of Torrence Smith, who was a pioneer. People credit him with the reason that manga is available officially in English. and not without cause. He leaves behind a gigantic legacy. It's really sad to hear about that. I really, really, really regret never having met him. I never got the chance to meet him, and we never got to have him on the show. I really regret that.
Yeah, same here. He's one of those guys, he kind of dropped out of the scene for the last few years.
More like the last 10. He, like, yeah. Quote-unquote retired in, like, 2004, something like that.
Right, and that's around the time when we were starting to get really active, so we didn't really have the opportunity to really have run-ins with the guy, but all the old-timers are just full of really interesting stories.
Yeah, so, with respect to that, expect to hear as many of them on this show as we can possibly get over the next year or so. That is going to be a mission for us, is bringing these people on just to have some record of their history. Like, excuse me, man, my throat is screwing with me. Just to have some place where people can go and just hear them in their own words, in their own voice, speaking for however many hours they want to speak, and tell their stories. Recording that stuff is interesting, and if we can provide some kind of a service by chronicling it somewhere and, you know, having a permanent record of it, that's important and something that... some kind of service that we can actually provide.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We didn't set out in any way, shape, or form to be the people that do that, that are, you know, the chronicling the history of North American anime fandom. That's something that a lot of people have attempted to do, but no one really has done an all-encompassing job, and we kind of stumbled upon it by accident, just by having on the right people.
I wouldn't suggest that we're doing anywhere near, like, a comprehensive job or anything like that.
Well, no, that's not what I mean, but, like, we're... preserving these stories is something that, there hasn't been a whole lot of focus on the important people. People generally try to document, oh, here's what it's like to go to an anime con.
Right. Yeah.
And so I think we didn't even think to do this. We sort of stumbled upon having this really interesting dialogue with the founders of the scene, really, or the ones that are left. And it's my great regret that we never got Torrence Smith on, but... to the extent that we can, you know, have as many of those guys on as possible and really kind of preserve the memory of what was is that's compelling to me. I hope we can do as much of that as we can.
Yeah, I feel like if we can do that and you and I have access to people and people are willing to come on this show and talk to us, it's our duty. It's something we need to do.
Yeah.
If we have that ability, we should absolutely be using it. So Very sad to hear about Torrance Smith. He left behind a gigantic legacy. Manga industry would probably not be what it is now without him and his contributions, and our massive condolences to his friends and family. So really sad news on Torrance Smith. That sucks. Moving on, have you been watching anything?
I've been slammed with work, so I've just been kind of seeking decompression material.
Mm-hmm.
And I found no better decompression material and, you know, trolling through all of my big pile of stuff than, oh, crap, I never watched the entire second series of Hajime no Ippo.
You didn't?
No.
I found it hard to believe.
It was one of those that I grabbed them when it was new, and I was just like, I'll get to this at some point. Hopefully someone will license rescue it. And, of course, no one ever will because it's a sports show. So they've just been sitting there on my hard drive for 3 years. And so I finally like, okay, I'll watch this. And that show is very, very silly. But, God, I love it.
I mean, how is the second season stacking up compared to the first?
Well, it's an HD, and it's Madhouse, and so it's pretty darn good. It's really just more of the same. They just kind of kept where they left off. I think they got most of the original crew back, and definitely all the voice cast. So it's just kind of a second season that happens to be in HD. So it's just I'm digging it, just like I did before. If you're obviously you need to have watched the first series, and that's obviously a challenge because it hasn't been available since Genion collapsed.
And it's like over 100 episodes, right?
First one was 70-something, I think.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't know. It's a long-running shonen sports show and all that implies.
Cool. Well, that's the perfect kind of background thing, I find. Although I don't like watching that's not dubbed, right?
No.
No. So, I mean, you kind of got to pay attention to it, but yeah.
No, and it is a fan sub, regrettably, and honestly, the translation is clearly by someone who doesn't know sports all that well.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So it's bugging me, and if I didn't know Japanese, I would be really annoyed, but I can kind of fill in the cracks, but yeah. This is why I kind of gave up on the fan subs.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So you're finally getting around to that. Anything else?
I've just been going through digging through the ditches. I finally ordered Penguin Drum, but I haven't actually watched it yet.
I'm almost done with it.
Almost done with it. What's your? Are you ready for a final verdict? Or you're?
No, not yet. Well, I'm not finished yet, so I can't say for sure. I've got like 3 episodes left. I said on Twitter the other day because I'm trying to. I decided to just write one review of both parts because writing a review of the first 12. I mean, that's going to be, can't wait to see where this goes, the review. So I'm just going to do them both at once, which is why that review's not up yet, because I'm not done with the show. But it just makes more sense because it's not, it's weird because the Sentai Filmworks packaging has parts 1 and 2, and the second package is labeled the sequel to the hit thing. No, it's the next 12 episodes. It's not a sequel.
To what?
Yeah, and the show is so fucking strange and complicated, and they are literally, halfway through, when you get to the end of the first set, they're still adding plot devices and characters and stuff. It's like, yowza, like, this, it's, I will say that it is fucking weird. Like, it is fucking weird. It is one of the weirdest goddamn shows I've ever seen, and it's glorious for it. Like, I'm really glad that I got the chance to see it, and I will get to the ending, and then I think part of the reason I'm kind of putting it off is because I know when I'm done, then I have to write about this, which is going to be challenging. So maybe that's a little cheating on my part, but yeah, you will at least be intrigued by it. If you don't outright love it, you will at least find something in there to be like, what the fuck?
I'm really looking forward to it. I love me some Ikuhara.
I was doing the research for this. It literally hasn't directed anything since Utena. Like, he did like story. He did like, you know, single episodes and storyboards and stuff. But this is his first thing since Utena. And I gotta say, as an artist, the man is not repeating himself. And I think he's definitely an auteur and kind of a genius. Like, I've never seen anime directors do tend to repeat themselves. And while there are, you know, Ikuhara-isms in there, it shares very little in common with Utena.
He burned a lot of bridges on Utena.
Well, sure. And there are so many ideas and concepts and creative little things in Utena, you would figure, okay, this guy put everything he had into it. And no, he didn't. Like, just the premise of Penguin Drum is fucking weird as hell. And, like, you wonder who the hell even came up with it. And it's like, oh, this crazy, you know, kind of genius artist. Like, it's... Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you think of it when you do finally get to it. But I think it's pretty goddamn great.
I really wish he wasn't such a creepy guy.
Yeah, well, I ignore that. He can wear his leather pants all he wants, just as long as he makes his art, and I get to enjoy.
Alligator skin, Zach. Alligator skin.
Sorry, excuse me. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I look forward to hearing what you have to say about that. Is that it for you?
Yeah, it's tax season.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's tax season, and I'm a professional freelancer.
Yep, I get to do that, too. I usually wait till it gets closer to April just so I can hoard cash in case I do owe something. But I'm looking pretty good. I'm not even anywhere near close to done, but whatever.
I am terrified.
Really?
Well, I am absolutely terrified. I think I'm going to get completely hosed this year, and yeah. I'm getting the lube ready.
Oh, see, yeah, I was very careful with my deductions. And you know what? Let's not talk about our taxes. No one cares.
No, no one cares. It's my entire life right now.
Oh, no, totally. The box of receipts is giving me dirty looks from my closet, I can tell. Like, it's looking at me like, when are you going to start sorting, buddy? Anyway, so I just today finished, speaking of Sentai Filmworks, the Rurouni Kenshin New Kyoto Arc OVAs.
Ooh, I heard those were not that great.
It is, it blows.
Wow, that's more than not that great.
Yeah, if there was a bag of dicks, it would suck at least 75% of the dicks in that bag, is what I'm saying. I mean, I don't want to be...
That's a lot of dicks.
I don't want to be too subtle here. Man, it's pretty bad. So what they've done here is they took 34 episodes, the entire second season of the TV show, and condensed it down into 2 46-minute episodes.
Why would you do that?
Because that's the only part of Kenshin anyone likes, and they're just going to keep remaking it, I guess. I don't even know why they made this. It doesn't make any sense. The TV show exists, the manga's getting rebooted. I mean, I know... Okay. So obviously this was made because there was a huge push for that live-action movie, right? So they're trying to capitalize on that. And I guess that's why they did this. They're like, hey, everyone likes this story. Let's retell it. But it's so condensed that you're just getting sort of the major story beats, and everything switched around and moved around. So, you know, I thought about this as I was sitting there watching it, because I tried to revisit the Kyoto arc for our Revenge of the 90s show, because I remember loving it back in the day. Of course, I was 18 when I saw it. 18 or 19 when I saw Kyoto.
Yeah, the standards are much lower at that age.
Well, you kind of can't go home again when it comes to, like, your first long-running shonen tournament-style show. You see one of those, you've never seen anything quite like it, then you realize all the others are kind of the same, and if you try and go back and watch the first one you ever saw again, you're probably not going to fall back in love. Probably going to be like, okay, well, it's a shonen tournament action series. And so this kind of gets rid of the tournament-y part. It's not Kenshin facing off a series of freakish X-Men villains one after the other. Those fights all kind of happen on the tertiary, and, you know, the main fight is between him and burned-up mummy guy, Shishio. So for this, they also ramped up the sex and violence. Shishio has a sex scene that is fairly, you know... It's R-rated.
Okay.
So if you ever wanted to, you know, imagine burned up mummy guy getting it on, now you don't have to. It doesn't have to exist in your mind's eye. You can see it right there animated for you.
Goody.
Yeah, and it's a lot bloodier, so it's way more violent than the TV show is, which is kind of weird because the manga is kind of for kids, too. Like, and it wasn't that bloody, and the TV show certainly wasn't that bloody, but this is, you know, there's blood everywhere on this thing. So it's the same basic characters, and it's just the structure of it's a little bit different. Everything's kind of slammed together, thrown together. You know what it's like when you're watching a condensed version of a story.
Yes, terrible.
Yeah, and it's pretty awful. Like, you're sitting there going, okay, well, this was 40 episodes. Now it's 45 minutes. So there's not much else to say about it other than it's just Here's a shitty version of that thing that you used to like.
There's a ringing endorsement. Yeah,
it's relatively decently animated. The Blu-ray's kind of bare bones. And the dub, I mean, okay. So, like, Kenshin has a long history of having terrible dubs. The Media
Blasters...
Yeah,
not one of them were good.
The Media Blasters dub was awful. Of course, there's the classic Samurai X dub that's available on Crackle, if you're curious to see it.
Which is even worse.
Which is way worse. But that Media Blasters dub is dire as well.
Yeah.
This one is also shit. It's directed by somebody whose name I don't recognize, so it's not like a Stephen Foster kind of a thing. But all the performances are really flat. I didn't recognize really, and this is not a slight to any of the voice actors that are in this, didn't recognize any of the names in the credits, which is weird for an anime dub.
Right.
For me to not recognize any of the names. Good on them for getting fresh talent, but the line readings are super, super flat. And the voices oftentimes don't seem like good matches, especially Kenshin. Kenshin... In the Media Blasters dub, see, the big problem with dubbing this show is that the lead character has these speech pattern thing, where he ends his sentences the same all the time, and he has, like, weird little quirky ways of talking. Right. And every time they try and replicate that in English, it sounds like fucking shit, and it sounds weird and off-putting. So, like, in the Media Blasters dub, he would be like, well, I'm going to, you know, clean this sword. Yes, I will. Like, so he would add this dumb thing. It's like, no, stop. What are you, like, do you have... you know, mental problems or something? Why are you talking like that? So they got rid of that in this. But instead, the voice actor they got is generic, kind of gentle but tough guy sounding. So he delivers all of his lines in this kind of a monotone. Until things start getting a little silly, in which case he goes up to crazy voice and it sounds totally awful. Like, it doesn't work. And instead of... they didn't try and transcribe any of the speech pattern stuff, but...
Good.
Except Kenshin has this thing where he says Oro when he's, you know, flustered. They just have the English guy say Oro.
What?
Yeah. He's like, ah, Oro. And you're like, oh, God.
It does not work. You know, honestly, I'm not convinced that Kenshin is dubbable to date. No one has been able to get that character right.
No, I don't even blame the people making it, because they're probably like, what the fuck do we do with this? But it's just... ugh. Yeah, anyway, don't buy it. It's not good.
Okay.
I mean, for people who still have an interest in Kenshin, it's not good. Don't waste your time. And I have to wonder, like, what is it with the condensed versions of things? Why do they do that? It is kind of a uniquely anime thing.
Well, I know why they used to do it, but why they do it now, I can't even, in the age of entire TV series on DVD, I can't even guess.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they used to do it because it was a shorter way for people to consume something that, you know, wasn't on... easily purchasable at the store, like the Gundam movies or whatever, you know?
Right, or you know, when the second Ashita no Joe series came out 10 years later, it's like, oh, remember the first series? Here's everything important that happened.
Yeah, really. Or like, you know, the Touch movies or whatever. Like,
right.
For people who didn't necessarily want to drop thousands of dollars on Laserdisc sets and just wanted to get the story, you can watch a movie. And those aren't, you know, although I would wager probably Touch and Gundam are two distinctly, they're unique in that you can watch those movies and get the generally the full emotional brunt of both of those shows. Generally. And it's not perfect, but it is a valid way to watch them. Whereas if you watch, like, the Gurren Lagann condensed movies, they suck and take most of the show's story out. It's just, it's a confusing mess and requires you to have seen the TV show already, and you wonder who this is even for.
I can't help but think that this is sort of the anime equivalent of when they repackage a CD single with a new 30-second intro a new cover.
Right, yeah.
It's just like, let's get the otaku to drop more on this.
Yeah, I guess.
Just because they have to have everything and they're completists.
Yeah. You know, it is, if it's just, obviously the answer is money. It's just, creatively, they have no reason to exist. And this is at least fully reanimated. It's not taken from the TV show or anything. There's no reused animation. The animation is just fine. And they did try to rearrange the story so it could be told in 90 minutes. However, when you take all the scale out, It's just crazy burn guy who got literally burned by the Meiji government wants to burn down Kyoto, and Kenshin stops him. The end. Which takes most of the drama out. You know, he's just another bad guy at that point. Oh, and I should mention, it's kind of strange. So the show also exclusively just uses music from the TV show. There's no new music in it. I mean, maybe the ending theme, but all the music is just reorchestrated stuff from the TV series.
That's one way to save money.
I guess. It's not like that music is bad or anything. It's just I don't think I've seen it done that way before. But whatever. Anyway, Rurouni Kenshin, Kyoto Arc OVAs. Don't buy them. They suck. Okay, so that's kind of it for me. I've mostly just been trying to get through Penguin Drum and all that other stuff. So yeah. Anyway, we got a buttload of Twitter questions. So let's go ahead and get to that, shall we?
Okay.
First up from T and Rice asks, any thoughts on the 79 Anne of Green Gables show directed by Isao Takahata? Is it recommended for someone who just read the book?
I actually haven't seen it because really? I don't think it's ever been translated.
No. There was at least one tape.
Oh, yeah. You mean like old Nickelodeon dub?
No, I remember there was an Anne of Green Gables fan sub that was like...
Oh, like VHS?
Yeah, VHS, yeah.
I never ran across it. I would have snapped that up.
Yeah, maybe I must be misremembering, because if you don't remember that existing...
I mean, it could have. We didn't have everything at Kodocho, but I... The thing is, World Masterpiece Theater shows are so slow, and the subject matter is so not cool that nobody ever watches them.
Right.
Like, fan subbers give up because no one's downloading them. So, you can forget about someone fan subbing them or releasing them commercially, even for online streaming. It's just, you'll never make back your money. So, if you can find a way to grab it, let me know how it is, because I want to know too.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised that no one's picked that up, just to do it for fan sub purposes, because generally somebody will get to, that's well known enough. You would think somebody would have gotten to it.
All the World Masterpiece Theater shows are such a hard sell. I mean, the last one I think that was being done was getting maybe 20 downloads per episode. It's just like, and even someone who's not doing it for profit at that point will just go, oh God, no one even wants this. What am I doing? Why am I wasting my time?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be curious to see it myself, but yeah, it's one of those where not so sure it's ever going to be made available, but yeah.
Also, it's 39 episodes to tell a fairly short novel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right, next up from .0004, have you guys seen Wolf Children yet? Nope.
No, really, really want to. Give me, please.
It's soon enough. It's coming out this spring, isn't it?
Yeah, and there have been festival screenings here and there, but just none that have worked out for me.
Yeah. I would imagine we'll get screeners here pretty soon from Funimation. Also,
when that happens, let me know.
Yeah, I will. It says also, what movies are you guys looking forward to? I don't know if he means anime or just anything, but I mean, obviously, Wolf Children, I'm looking forward to. Hasn't been announced yet for US release, but that Evangelion 3.0 Blu-ray is coming out pretty soon.
Yes. I want that.
I
want
to see that really bad.
Yes. The new short feature, the compilation film with Otomo. Mm-hmm. What's that called?
I don't remember.
Combustible was part of it.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember what it's called. But that
I'm dying to see that. That trailer looks amazing.
All that stuff sounds pretty good. There's a new Ghibli this year, but I fail to get excited about new Ghibli anymore.
Even if it's Miyazaki.
Yeah, well, if it's anybody. Oh, Takahata's got one coming, right?
But that one has been delayed because he's going pretty slow with it, so.
Yeah, it's like, it comes out like late this fall or next year or something like that.
Yeah, they haven't really set a date yet.
But in terms of anime, that's that. Movies, we're getting into the summertime. Your favorite time of year for movie going.
I'm actually genuinely looking forward to the Star Trek, next Star Trek movie. That's the one Hollywood franchise that hasn't completely been ruined for me.
Yeah. Well, that last one was pretty fun.
Right. So exactly.
I'm looking forward to that.
I don't hate fun all of the time, just most of it.
Right. They're re-releasing Jurassic Park. I'll see that.
I didn't hear great things about the Top Gun re-release. They said it kind of looked weird.
Well, I mean, if they're showing it in 2D, I'll see that. I just want to see that movie in the theater again.
Okay.
But, yeah, in terms of, like, big summer stuff, Star Trek, that's kind of it. I'll see a lot of this stuff. Like, I'll watch the superhero movies, but to say that I'm excited about them is another thing entirely.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by Great Gatsby, but who knows if it will be good.
Okay, no, I'm actually legitimately really looking forward to that.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of Baz Luhrmann in the trailers, I think. Even though DiCaprio's accent, I don't know what he's trying to do in those trailers.
Yeah, that's what's tempering my enthusiasm a little bit on that one.
But it looks so cool, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing what he does with 3D. I think Baz Luhrmann could probably be one of the few directors who really does something neat with it. So, we shall see. Pacific Rim looks fun. I think we're sort of contractually obligated to be interested in that, just to see what it does. But yeah, I mean, we're not yet in the last half of the year, and in the last half of the year is when all the really good stuff tends to come out. So we'll see.
Sequel to 300, that might be acceptable.
Oh boy. 'Cause that movie certainly had room for a sequel. I think it's a prequel, actually.
Okay.
Well, it is called Rise.
That makes me feel better.
It's called Rise of an Empire. So maybe it's a prequel. we'll see.
The remake of Old Boy.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Oh, you know, I actually really do want to see Stoker.
Really?
Which is out now. Well, I liked Old Boy, and all the reviews for Stoker make it sound pretty hellacious, so
right.
I do want to see it.
Yeah, that could be okay. I don't know. It's all of these movies are either sequels to franchises I don't care about at all, or there's no buzz on them at all, and I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, I don't know, you know. Who knows? It could be kind of a weird weak year. I don't know. I think people overplayed the weakness of last year. I thought 2012 was actually a really, really good year for movies. Not like great, but it was pretty damn good.
There was nothing fantastic, but a lot of good films.
Yeah. So plenty of stuff, you know, to look forward to, but we're not at the time of year when I really start getting excited about movies. So, okay. Divine Nega asks, anything in the upcoming spring season that you guys are interested in checking out? Attack on Titan is the one I'm looking forward to the most. Kind of obvious, that one. But, looking at the list, it's, I mean, you're dealing with this stuff right now.
Yeah, Carnival looks kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah, the illustrations for it look kind of wacky.
Yeah, and the concepts behind it, which I'm not sure people know about yet, are kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I haven't really gotten to delve into too many of the other shows. I'm really curious to see how that Yu Watase TV show is going to be, Arata.
Yeah, we've got an interview with the director of that coming up here. And
yeah, it's such a weird match for Yu Watase because it's satellite with a Korean studio. It's a Korean co-pro.
Interesting.
Also Gargantia, I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we're interviewing that guy too.
Really? We actually got Gennaro Bucci?
I don't think it's a Rabucci. I think it's the director.
Well, who cares?
Yeah, right.
If it's not Urobuchi, I don't give a damn.
We've interviewed Urobuchi like 3 times.
Right. I'm being an asshole.
But yeah, so we've got some stuff coming up here. We'll see. You know, I tend to make my judgments on these things when I actually see the first episode. So we'll see. Vidit1990 asks, what was your first anime? VHS, DVD, and Blu-ray. I guess he wants individual. Like, I am pretty positive my first anime VHS that I know the first one I ever bought was Ninja Scroll. I don't know if that's the first one I ever saw. Surely it wasn't, but that is the first one I ever purchased.
First anime VHS I saw was Project Aiko. Bought, I think, was I think it was either Ranma one half OAV desperately seeking shampoo.
No.
or Venus Wars.
Wow.
Neither of which I am all that excited by these days.
Sure, right. DVD I know is Cowboy Bebop Volume 1.
DVD for me was When Named Amnesia.
And weirdly, I can't... Blu-ray, I'm not sure.
It was such a smooth transition from DVD to Blu-ray that it's hard to... Even though that only happened like 3 years ago, it's hard to place exactly.
Yeah. Because, and also, like, when DVDs were coming out, I wasn't yet in a position to be getting all this stuff in the mail day in, day out. By the time Blu-ray rolled around, I was getting pretty much everything released, showing up at my front door. So, like, right. Personally purchased? Jeez. God, I am drawing a blank. Like, I don't know. I'm sure if I went and looked at my shelf, it'd be like, oh, yeah, this one. But, fuck if I can remember.
I don't remember either. I'm grasping here, and I got nothing.
Yeah, well. So, sorry, can't tell you. Okay. Oh, you know what? Actually, I can. It was Jinro.
Oh. Wow, you... Spendy.
Mm.
Oh, wait, no, were you given that?
I was given that, but I'm pretty sure it was the first Blu-ray that I had, that I actually owned and, like, kept. Pretty sure. Like, for anime on Blu-ray, anyway. I'm pretty sure it was Jinro, because that was real early on. They were one of the first to step into that pond.
Uh-huh. Yeah, mine, and now that you mention it, mine actually might have been Wings of Onyamas.
It might have been, because that was released during the war between Blu-ray and HD DVD.
Right.
So that would have been right at the start.
Yeah, and also it seemed rare enough that I felt I had to snap it right up.
Yeah, right. Turned out it wasn't really all that rare for that long. But actually, I remember getting those in the mail. Technically, it might have been on Onyamas too, because I got both. They sent me both the Blu-ray and the HD DVD, and I was an adopter of HD DVD during that first little salvo there.
Oh, right, because they had the Xbox.
Yeah, and it was cheaper. You could get the Xbox player for like $75-$80, and the movies were a little cheaper. I still have some HD DVDs around here somewhere.
Really?
Yeah, somewhere. They're in a box somewhere. Yeah, well, I threw plenty of them out when I released them, when they eventually got replaced on Blu-ray, because a bunch of stuff came out on HD DVD that never came out on Blu-ray or didn't come out until much later.
I snapped one up.
So I hung on to those for probably longer than I should have, but no, I remember getting both the Blu-ray and the HD DVD for Onyamasen and giving the Blu-ray away for someone to review and keeping the HD DVD and then having to go buy the Blu-ray.
I was smart enough to grab the HD DVD of Streets of Fire because they were probably never going to bring that out on Blu-ray properly. So I've been able to rip the assets and rebuild it as a Blu-ray.
Yeah, right.
Because I am that guy.
I'm a little surprised that hasn't come out anywhere.
Nobody bought it. I mean, it's a terrible movie, and only nerds like myself and Mike Toole even care that it still exists, and only because of the anime tie-in.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Sweet Durga asks, this is especially relevant this week. Why do you think some anime fans look down on Fujoshi? Is it just a matter of sexism, or is there much more to it? Well, sexism is a big part of it. It's also my secret special club, No Girls Allowed, treehouse bullshit.
Very mature.
Yeah, we had a big flare-up on this week when that Kyo Annie's, you know, Swim Boys commercial came out and the Fujoshi lost their fucking minds. And it seemed like half the internet lost their fucking minds for that thing. I mean...
Brian, it was really, really well animated.
It's really, really well animated, and this is the kind of stuff for Fujoshi that, you know, they want to make some money, they should produce it as a series.
Yeah.
But the fanboys got all pissy as
not was, all of them, a handful of them.
Some people got real pissy, and in our forums we had some representatives of that community coming in and complaining and yelling about how Kyo Annie would never betray their real fans by making something for Fujoshi. The whole thing strikes me as a level of immaturity that I don't like to see in anime fandom, but I know is there. It is really sexist and dumb for otaku to be pissy about things that appeal to Fujoshi, and I've seen this more and more and more. Outright hostility towards Fujoshi stuff.
It seems to be coming from the exact same place as you're not a real fan. You're a girl.
Yeah, exactly. Of course. And it's the fact that they're now drawing it down gender lines and not just if you don't like my incest moe loli shows, then you're not a real fan and you're a prude and you're terrible and you're not allowed in our secret treehouse. And now if you have a vagina, you're not allowed into our secret treehouse. Which is just fucking stupid as hell and just totally sexist. And I really dislike that part of this community. I dislike that aspect of fandom tremendously, and it makes me a little depressed. This is the kind of thing where the fans should embrace each other. They shouldn't try and draw these stupid lines and, insult and ostracize each other. It's fucking dumb.
It seems to be the absolute last bone that a fan develops to be able to say, well, I can see the appeal, but this isn't for me.
Yeah.
That seems to be the absolute hardest thing for a fan to do, because they want it. A less mature fan wants nothing more than to blanketly, categorically say, I like this entire genre. Mm-hmm. I like everything. And so when something comes out that should, by some measure, fit what they like, and very much doesn't, it becomes this knee-jerk, this thing is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
This does not fulfill my expectations. This is not why I got into fandom. Get this away before I burn it.
Yeah, you're ruining my purity.
Right. In that very, ego-centered world, there's just no space for things made for other people. That's kind of like an additional brain you have to grow at some point in your maturity process.
Yeah, no shit. Because, and I see, you'll see people saying, in the forums, well, if they're smart, they'll just make stuff that we want, we the otaku want, because we are the ones who buy everything, and we are the ones who they should be subservient to, and how dare they make something for someone who's not us? I cannot believe that someone would be so fucking immature as to not be able to handle the concept that a studio made something that they aren't going to watch. They're not in fucking fealty to you. It's just very upsetting. I found the whole thing to be just ugly. But I was happy to see the outpouring of support for that thing, and I hope they get their show.
I hope we get the show. I'm gay. I want to see that.
Right. Exactly. Okay. INS Division 6 asks, is that your media collection in the Pile of Shame banner photo? If so, how many discs does one crate hold?
Yes, it is. Although it's I comically added a bunch of my archival data discs to those are the ones on spindles just to make it look like more. Each of those crates holds 600 discs, so that's and those are all my actual collection. They're not all full, but they're getting full, so that's probably around 1,700 discs in there. And then each of those spindles is another 100 or 50, however big it is. Jeez. And then we had the additional, stuff that didn't come in an Amore case that, I couldn't throw away the case, so there's some more discs. I have a problem.
Right. okay. Cowboy Dev asks, what's your snack of choice when watching something? I try not to, because Lord knows I don't need to be idly sitting and eating while being super idle. I try not to snack. But if I do, I tend to stick with popcorn or something. Something that's not, straight up greasy ass chips or whatever.
I'm on a really, really strict diet right now.
Right.
Which is killing me because I'm a food nerd.
Right, yeah.
But so it's either sugar snap peas or, if I'm having a really bad day, I'll go to Costco and get one of those 2.5-pound jars of unsalted nuts.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I really shouldn't do because I will eat an entire one of those in a 24-hour period, and that's 7,400 calories.
Holy shit.
In addition to my regular meals. I right. will not stop. That I really shouldn't buy those anymore. It's a problem.
Yeah, if I'm trying to, like, if I'm going to snack, it's going to be, you know, veggies, or I really like raw vegetables, so I try and stick with that. Or if I want salty, I'll go popcorn or, you know, nuts or something. But a long time ago, I changed my diet to where I stay the hell away from, like, really, really salt, super, super salty and super, super sweet snack foods. I just try to stay the fuck away from it.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That stuff will kill any attempt at dieting faster than anything else.
As part of this diet, I've had to completely give up all sugar in everything. I mean, like, I can't even have Chinese food because all that sauce has sugar in it.
Can you have, like, fruit?
I can have fruit, but I can't have fruit juice. Oh, it has right. to still be part of the fruit.
Right, okay, yeah.
And it's really weird. You go into full-blown withdrawal. It's like giving up heroin, I think.
Oh, wow.
It's really bad. Like, and everyone who was doing this diet with me was just like, the girls were like, oh my god, it's like I can't stop PMSing. All the guys were like, I'm having mood swings. It's awful.
Jeez.
That sugar is really, really, really toxic, and I can't believe how bad it is now that I'm off of it.
Yeah, I don't know. A while ago, I switched over to just getting all my sugar, trying to get at least 80% of my sugar just from fruit. So, like, instead of buying ice cream or candy when I feel like I want sugar, I just have a piece of fruit. Surprisingly satisfying, because I've always, you know, it's always been a part of my diet, but I didn't look back. I didn't miss it, but I didn't go hardcore like you did. Like, I'm sure a lot of the food I eat still has sugar in it.
If someone were to give me an Oreo, just one Oreo, and say, this is okay, I would probably drop to the ground on all fours and just start sobbing.
You poor bastard.
Okay. This is awful. And I have 6 more weeks of this.
Yeah, well, good luck. Okay, GW Otaku asks, opinions on the Daisuke project and its potential to break new ground for streaming or lack thereof. I'm curious to get your take on that.
I don't have enough data. Certainly all of the partners are in place to potentially make something really good, but we don't know the business model yet, or, you know, how it's going to work. We don't know exactly what shows they're going to give us, how many of them will be back catalog, how many of them will be simulcast. I mean, if anyone is potentially affected by this, it's Crunchyroll, but there's just not enough data. We don't know anything yet to really give an accurate assessment. This could be another Funnyco for all we know.
Yeah. Whenever a new streaming initiative is announced after Funnyco, my response is wait and see.
Yeah.
We'll see what they're doing. I have no idea. That stuff is so hard to get off the ground, as we've experienced firsthand.
Yes, it is, and the pitfalls are many, and the embracing of the fans is by no means guaranteed.
Yeah, and the potential profits are minimal.
Yeah, that's the biggest concern there.
Speaking of, Land of Obscusion asks, own any HD DVDs? I still have a few. He says
I have Streets of Fire.
He said, having bought Wings of Onimus' HD DVD combo back for cheap recently has piqued my curiosity for the medium. Well, I don't know why you'd suddenly start buying HD DVDs.
No, and most of them were made before the good H.264 encoders were out, so that they're not the quality is nowhere near as good as Blu-ray would be, but inevitably.
Right, yeah. They don't look as good.
The bitrate's much lower. They're usually using VC1 codec. They're usually not using the lossless audio. It's kind of just under Blu-ray as far as all the specs go.
Yeah. Yeah, they're cheap. There's a reason for that. It's a dead format. Although there was something recent. I think it was as recently as last year. Someone put out a movie on HD DVD. I think it was some direct-to-video thing, but
really?
I think it was a stunt. Yeah.
I thought that we had the big claim to fame as being the last HD DVD released was Freedom.
Oh, no, no. I think it was as late as last year there was something released on HD DVD. I think it was an independent thing.
I'm surprised they could even get it replicated.
Yeah, well, who knows? They probably made 10 of them because they knew no one was going to buy it. Yeah. Dead format, stay away. Hachin asks, favorite, and has Another stinger for you, Justin. Favorite kind of donut. Never been a big donut guy.
Normally, I like French crawlers.
Right.
I like the lightness. But there is this legendary place here in Southern California called Donut Man. Mm-hmm. It is a 24-hour stand in Glendora, California, which is about a 45-minute drive inland from downtown. Mm-hmm. It is legendary, and their big claim to fame is they take one of those, you know, giant no-hole hockey puck glazed donuts.
Yeah.
Really, really fresh. They slice it in half, and then they take whatever fruit is in season at the time, usually strawberries or peaches, and they make a really light pie filling with it, like no bake pie filling, which is, it's just like a light glaze on them.
Right.
And they make it a sandwich.
That sounds pretty good.
It's amazing. And right before I started this diet, me and two buddies, we went out there and I had six.
How big are these?
The size of a In-N-Out burger.
Jesus.
They weren't all that donut, but I had six donuts about that size.
Yowza. Well, okay, so.
Thus having no choice but to go through with the diet.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not a big donut guy. Too much sugar in the morning. I never understood how people could eat, like, pancakes or waffles for breakfast. It's dessert. Like, it tastes like dessert to me. So I don't want that. I want savory in the morning. Or if it's going to be sweet, it's going to be fruit. I can't handle that much fucking sugar once in the morning. It's like, I don't need dessert for every meal. But if I had to pick, probably just basic glazed. Okay.
Actually, Donut Man, during like October, November, they just fill a pastry squirter with pumpkin pie filling and just keep layering and layering until it's half pumpkin pie filling.
Oh, God. See, that makes me sick to my stomach.
I had two of those in one sitting once.
Oh, God. All right, we're getting off this topic. Okay, Nocturne123 asks, it seems like you give live-action TV more of a chance than an anime, usually only watching one episode before dropping it.
I don't.
He said the question's generally more for me. I disagree with the use of the phrase dropping a show. I don't watch an episode and then drop it. I don't watch things as the season goes on. My method of watching anime now, or new anime anyway, is something that's not on Blu-ray yet, and I really prefer to watch things on Blu-ray or DVD. We do the season preview guides. I watch everything. I don't review everything, but I watch everything, watch one of everything. Then I have to do everybody else's reviews in addition to my own. Then I wait until the end of the season and read reviews. Our reviews, other people's reviews, and find out, you know, which shows that had promise held up that promise, which shows that looked like they had promise and weren't worth it. I don't go back to them. I tend to see stuff late, like, you know, a couple of months, 6-7 months after it's finished, and I like to wait for the Blu-rays. So that's kind of how I watch stuff. If I actually did the thing where that other people do where they're watching, you know, 3 or 4 shows every single week, I mean, I already have to watch a lot of anime for my job. I don't want to burn out, so I tend to just wait. And frankly, like, I avoid a lot more disappointment doing it this way.
Yeah, honestly, you know, when there's like 30 new shows constantly running, it's the only way, it's the only sane way is to wait for the people, everyone else to filter out the garbage.
Yeah, really.
Especially when you have to work on this stuff and you know, your time is at a premium.
Yeah, exactly. And frankly, like, whether or not it seems like it to this guy, I don't necessarily give live action more of a berth. If I watch one episode and I don't like it, I won't watch more until, you know, down the road someone says, oh, that show really improved, and then I'll just watch it in a big chunk. I find that a bad first episode or an off-putting first episode kills it for everything, not just anime. It'll take reviews down the road later on to convince me that this is worth going back and revisiting. But yeah. Okay. All right. Paula Freeland asks, you and Justin have one dinner each with 3 directors, alive or dead. Who are they? What do you ask? And what's on the menu? This is pretty complicated. So I'm just going to stick with who are they. So if you could have dinner with three different directors, who would they be? Live or dead?
I think Fellini, Ozu,
right,
and Kieslowski.
Oh, good picks.
We would need lots of translators.
Yeah. Yeah, I would probably go with Lars von Trier, just because I think that would be fun. He's a wacky guy.
That's one word for him.
Yeah, he's a crazy guy. Paul Thomas Anderson, of course. And right. Brad Bird. Sure, why not?
Well, at least one of those people you'd be able to have a conversation with.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, see, that's the thing. Someone's like, hey, would you have dinner with... And I'm like, can I watch someone else have a conversation with them?
Yeah, seriously.
I would want to do, like, months of preparation, and it would be an interview. Like, it wouldn't... I would be starstruck, you know, to begin with. But these are people that I admire so much that I would just be like...
I know you want to skip this part of the question, but I really want to have dinner with those people around, like, a suckling pig on a spit.
Yeah, sure. There you go.
Just because that would make everything more awesome.
Right. Okay. Also from Paul Freeland, he's sending us some interesting questions here. If you were forced to listen to any anime character give a 10-plus hour filibuster, who would you choose and why? It's a weird question.
Whoa. Topical.
Yeah.
10-hour filibuster?
I mean, I don't want to listen to anybody for 10 hours, but...
No. Totoro.
Great.
It would just be grunting, and it would be kind of rhythmic, and you could go to sleep to that.
Sure. You know what? I'll steal your answer. It's a good okay. One. That's a good one. Okay. Chuodori asks, with the success of Production IG's Kickstarter fund for Kickheart, do you see any signs of other anime companies following suit and using crowdsourcing to fund their anime projects? I hope there's not this big flood, because that means 99.9% of them are going to fail. I don't know. Maybe. It doesn't seem like it can be used for anything other than short films at this point.
That's the problem. I mean, they were barely able to raise the amount of money they were asking for, and that's for a 10-minute short.
Right.
You can't do anything with a 10-minute short. You can barely release it on home video and expect people to pay for it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of useless. If they were able to get millions that way, I mean, I think it would be feasible to make a feature and, you know, have something useful. But all you can really do with a short is put it on YouTube.
Pretty much. Take it to festivals and put it on YouTube, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Not going to make a lot of money with it.
Well, more than that, it's just not useful. People won't see it.
Yeah. Well, they'll see it, but they'll watch it on YouTube.
Right.
And then say, that was neat, and move on. And then that's it.
Impact of a cashew.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, also from Chuodori, do you think that we're anywhere near seeing a Japanese anime company release a whole series in a download-to-own format?
Depends on what you mean by download-to-own. Technically, they have.
If that's if he means, like, exclusive, like, this is the way you get this show, is download-to-own only, no, because they're just cutting off revenue fees, or revenue streams.
That would be stupid to do that.
Yeah, that would be really dumb, like... You want to maximize potential profit, not limit it. So there's no reason to just stick with download to own, which isn't a very popular way to do things anyway.
The only place that works really is with dubs of booby shows on Xbox Live, because rich kids get their parents to just load up those Xbox credits, and they don't really look at what they're buying, so they're downloading booby shows.
Right, and anime is as close to softcore as you're going to get on a service like Xbox Live, so yeah. Okay. All right. Chimera Man asks, he says, got a couple questions here. First and foremost, rest in peace, Torrin Smith. Contributed very well to manga and touched each and every one of us in a special way. As leader of a panel troupe on the East Coast, I don't know what a panel troupe is. Do you know?
I can guess, but no.
Is that like an improv troupe? I don't know.
I hope not. Improv is terrible.
Yes,
people need to stop doing improv.
Yeah, I agree with you. It says, I have to ask how your experiences have been from running fan panels to what you do with the live and cast panels from Anime Expo and other conventions. I have never run a fan panel.
I haven't either, because I honestly, the number of fans that know enough to not be annoying to me is very low. That sounds really obnoxious, but it's true.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've never run a fan panel because, as early as, you know, the early 2000s, I was at least qualified to be on the Anime News Network panel, and then we had panels at Anime Insider, and now we do the live podcast and the ANN panels.
And more than that, we participated in, like, roundtables with owners of companies. It's not, you know...
Yeah, it's... I can do better than a... Not that there's anything wrong with fan panels, but if I'm going to provide a panel experience, I will try and use my resources to give something more than just, hey, I really like One Piece. Here's the top 15 One Piece guys, or whatever. Like, I feel like I'm in a position where I can do more, and so I should. Even though our live podcasts are pretty goofy.
Yeah, I mean, those are just kind of us having fun.
Those are just for fun. But, you know, chiefly... You know, we do the ANN panel, and that's to spread the word about the company and give people a chance to interact with us and all that kind of shit. So,
the point of most panels is to spread information, and inevitably, at all of those panels, during when it turns into Q&A, people ask things that the panelists can't answer. And if you're not in the industry and have no industry experience, as most fans don't, you don't know a lot of those things, and a lot of times they just kind of come up with their own theories, which I can't help. But if I'm in the room and I can't correct them, I go crazy.
Yeah, that's happened to me a few times where I'm sitting like I'm waiting for something else to start, and I'll come in like towards the Q&A portion of whatever the fan panel was before, and someone will raise their hand and ask the panelist like, "Why do you think Sentai Filmworks did blah blah blah? Why do you think Funimation did XYZ?" And the person will talk completely out of his ass. And I just want to be like, no, you're wrong. Here's the right information. But that's a mega dick move, and I'm not going to do it.
Best option is to just not be in the room.
Well, yeah, or to ignore it and wait for your panel to start. But I really don't like it when someone sets themselves up as an expert and then it's fine if you take those questions, but the response to it is, I don't know. It's not, here's my fan theory. It's not, I read this on an internet forum somewhere, so this must be true. If you don't have the right information, then you're doing the opposite of what your panel is supposed to do. You're spreading bad information, which is negative.
Most people aren't confident enough to be able to say on stage, I don't know.
Yeah.
Which is sad, but I mean, that's very human.
Yeah, if you're presenting yourself as an authority on something, you don't want to be like, I have no fucking clue. But, you know, they can be frustrating to watch. Okay, he also asks, do you see the Discotech marketing strategy as a worthwhile run down the line with a steadily aging fan base and a teenage base that's fleeting when it comes to anime? Well, Discotech seems to have their market figured out.
They do something interesting, which is a big part of their catalog, at least the stuff they've released up to this point, is stuff that kind of sort of had a little bit of main, like a knuckle dragging into the mainstream, like the Unico movies,
right?
And Little Nemo, and those apparently do okay for them. I'm really curious to see how their more fan oriented stuff does, like LoveCon and things of that nature, because that's kind of virgin territory for them, and that's all new.
Yeah, giant robot stuff and Lupin and yeah.
Right, Lupin. I should ask. I have absolutely no idea how well that did for Selby. We've asked Selby to come on the show, but he doesn't want to.
Maybe someday.
He likes to not be in the spotlight.
Yeah. Okay. From Danny Bergman, says your recent pile of shame comments and insightful comments on what makes anime different from animation of the U.S. and other countries. What are your thoughts on the best U.S. cartoons or films that are heavily influenced by anime or mimicking it? That's a tough one because the things that are influenced by anime that you can tell there's a strong influence, but they're not necessarily following the filmmaking techniques that are used in anime or the pacing techniques that are used in anime. Generally, if something is influenced by anime, it's purely visual. So The Fifth Element, The Matrix trilogy, you know, stuff like that. And I like those films. I love The Fifth Element. The Matrix is okay. What you were talking about is a style thing. That's a filmmaking technique. I think, anyway. And you don't see that particular thing mimicked hardly ever.
Well, there are some things that obviously don't work in live action, and there are some things that are just ozu.
Right.
You know, it's just part of Japanese filmmaking, and, you know, that's all just one big melting pot anyway.
Right, yeah.
I mean, animation-wise, I was a big Avatar fan.
Sure, yeah, and that's the one everybody brings up.
That's because it's the only acceptable one.
It's the only one, yeah. It's literally.
It is the only time anyone has ever done that right.
Yeah. I don't know. American films and television shows that are sort of heavily influenced by or trying to bite from the anime style just don't have a good track record, and there's only been a handful of them that actually really worked, and really not that many of them have even been made. You know, in terms of style, certainly Speed Racer basically did it perfectly, but that's a total anomaly. Okay, so that about wraps it up. Thanks, everyone, for sending in your questions. Justin, you know, good luck with your diet, and hope you have a good week.
If you hear a gunshot from over here, you'll know what happened.
Okay. Okay, that's our show. Thanks to Justin for stopping by. I guess he's always here. Theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at thenewdivision.net. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. And we'll see you all next week.